last week of our series called The I Rules of Relationships. The I Rules of Relationships. And we've said that God has given us a choice on how to live in relationships. We can live according to what God's hopes and dreams for us are, or we can live according to what the world says is important in terms of our relationships. Because what is natural to us is not what God says. What's natural in our mindset, what's natural in how we react, is not what the Bible and God tells us to do. See, when somebody is rude to us, we want to be rude back. When somebody hurts us, we want to hurt them back. That's what's natural in our minds, in our hearts, and in everything about us. And so God is asking us, Christians, if you're a Christian here, he's asking us to take it to a different level, to take it to the next step. That's not where it says. And so what we've tried to do is paint that picture. We've tried to paint the picture about what God wants for us. And God says, do to everybody else what I have done to you. Don't do to everybody else what they did to you. God says, do to them what I have done to you. And when you do that, your relationships go to the next level and your life starts to live to the fullest. So if you've missed anything, you can catch it up at lhwc.org, or let me just summarize real quick. Week one, we talked about forgiveness. We talked about the aspect of forgiveness, that forgiveness is a decision we make. It's not a feeling that we have. Okay? We're not waiting for a feeling to forgive, and we forgive because God has forgiven us. We understand that when we forgive somebody, it doesn't justify, it doesn't okay the decision that they did or the thing that they did to you, but it releases us from the control that unforgiveness has over our lives. Thank you so much. Week two, we talked about acceptance. Acceptance, that the idea is that we'll accept people first, just like God has accepted us. That we said our goal is to have influence in somebody's life versus being right. That when we have influence in somebody's life, we allow the Holy Spirit to start to work in theirs. In week three, we had Jesse Skidmore here, and he talked to us about serving. That when we serve people, we are actually living in freedom. And then last week, we talked about encouraging. It means letting ourselves be open to other people, allowing them to speak into our lives, that when they see our lives going in a direction that's destructive, we allow them to speak into our lives. And we take the time to speak into others. Okay? This week, as we wrap this up, week five, our word for this week is submit. Submit. Okay, so that's what we're talking about this week. And the idea is that we are going to focus on what God has done on our behalf. Okay, so the word submit is focusing on what God has done on our behalf. That's what we've been talking about this whole idea. We've been talking about what God has done in our lives, not what other people have done for us. And we forgive because we're forgiven. We accept because God has accepted us. We lean into people's lives because we are encouraged as followers of Jesus to help grow them. We serve because that's what Christ did when he came, is he served. So that is the whole purpose of this whole idea of I rules of relationships, that we're going to focus on what God has done on our behalf. So what does it mean to submit? We're going to look in the book of Ephesians. Now, in this book, Paul is talking to the people of Ephesus. Ephesus is located in now modern-day Turkey. But wouldn't it be cool? I was thinking about this. This is kind of, sorry, I'm going to take a sidebar. Wouldn't it be cool if I could tell you to turn to the book of 1 Turkey? Wouldn't that be cool instead of like turn to the book of Ephesians? Anyways, sorry. Ephesians. So we're going to look at Ephesians. Here's what the Bible says about Ephesians. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So that word submit is an action, right? We have to do something. Out of reverence for Christ is an attitude. So we're going to have an action and we're going to have an attitude when it talks about submitting. The word submit means to place yourself under the authority of someone else. That's really what it means, okay? It's oftentimes how we view it. It's good for one person, right? Submit, when we think about placing ourselves under that, it's good for one side of things, but it doesn't always seem to work good on the other side. Floyd, you're up front. I'm going to pick on you today, okay? Because you can take it. All right, Floyd, if I would say, and since I have the microphone, I'm talking. Floyd, go get me a stool. Go get me a drink of water. Go get me something, right? And you would submit under the authority because I'm up here, right? Now make sure my water has a lime. And Floyd, then after that, take the water and wash my feet. Right? Ugh, right? Nasty, right? But that's good for me. That works out really well in my favor, not so much for him. Now, the other side is, if he would have me submit to him, I don't know if I'd like that so much. But that's how we view submission. It's only a one-sided deal. We like the idea of people submitting to us. We like the idea of people coming under my authority, my ideas, right? That's good for us. That works out really well in our favor, right? So that's the attitude. But I can do that. When we think of somebody that we look up to, when we think of somebody that has some authority, some power, somebody we look to as that we like, we say, okay, yeah, it's not ideal, but I can do that. I can give up to that. Now, you ever met somebody like you really respected? Or like you really, like a famous person, like a music star, a movie star, somebody you really love, like, man, I get to meet this. How is it like, hi, yeah, cool, okay, bye, you know, and it's really awkward, but whatever they say, it says, hey, you know, let's say for a second, you looked at me like that, Floyd, we know that's not true, but let's look, say we are. You come and say, hey, go get me a Coke, and you say, okay, yeah, sure, diet, cherry, regular, cinnamon, what do you want? It doesn't matter, I'll just get you of all of them, right? Because there's a built-in idea that I respect that person, I look up to that person, I want to do something for that person, and I will do it, right? There is something in there that is that struggle. See, the idea is that in relationships, I am to put you first, and you are to put me first. That's godly submission. It is never a one-way deal. If I ask Floyd to submit to me, but I can't submit to him, that's not godly submission. In relationships, I'm to put you first, and you are to put me first. That's what we're talking about. We're submitting to each other. Now, let's say for the sake of argument, Floyd, we go out to lunch later. And we take some of our friends in here. And we get to the door of the restaurant. And everybody else hasn't really been paying attention this morning, but you and I are because we're talking. And we're focused on this idea of submission. Everybody else is hungry. They go into the restaurant. You and I get to the door. Here, you go first. No, you go first. No, you go first. And you know, it gets awkward, right? So it doesn't really work out all the time like that. If I submit to you, you submit to me. That whole thing, it's difficult, right? Let's just acknowledge that. The other part of mutual submission, I don't want to submit to him. I love the man. But we're selfish by nature, aren't we? Like, I don't like the idea of having to submit to anybody. I don't want to submit control. I don't want to submit ideas. I don't want to submit anything to anyone. But I love the fact that he has to submit to me. That's what are some of our things. That's why we're talking about that submission is not natural. It is not built into our DNA to do this. That's why we need God's power to help us. That's why we need God to tell us and take us to the next step. See, what comes naturally for me is that I'm going to allow Floyd to serve me. What comes natural for me is I can be the boss and tell people what to do, but I'm not going to listen to anybody else. That's what comes natural for all of us. We like things easy. We like easy Christianity too. We like things to be easy. We don't like to be convicted. We don't like difficulty. We like people to be easy. Point in case, my favorite food of all time is cold cereal. I kid you not. It is on my bucket list. There are some really great places called cereal bars. You go to these places and it's wall-to-wall cold cereal. And you can choose from any dairy option you want, or non-dairy, whatever. It's on my bucket list. I love it. And here's why I love it. Now, besides its delicious goodness, what I love about it, it fits my culinary skills perfectly. I put the cereal in the bowl, I pour in the milk, and I eat. That's all it is. There's nothing to it. Love it. The other thing I like is it's really, really easy. I don't have to prep anything, I don't have to do anything. That's easy. Another example, shortly after high school, I went to a one-year Bible school in Montana. Amazing place, beautiful scenery, only 50 students that I'm still close friends with to this day. And the nearest town was 30 miles away. That town was the size of 400 people. So we were like up. We were right on the Lewis and Clark boundary. It's beautiful up there. I tell you what, though, being a Christian in that setting was very, very easy. Very easy. Every day the discussion was about Jesus. In class, in some of our personal relationships, that was easy. And if being a Christian in that environment happened every day, that'd be really easy and I'd like it. Because it doesn't take any work. It took no work, but unfortunately what happens, went back to the real world. And life happens. Relationships happen. And it is not a cakewalk. But we often want things to be very, very easy. See, God says, what I want you to do is I want you to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Out of reverence for Christ. See, we're going to submit showing reverence because it shows respect to our Savior. When we submit to Jesus, it shows reverence for Him. It doesn't matter who it is that we're revering, right? Not because the person deserves it, and this is what comes against our natural inclining. It's not because they deserve it. It's not because they're so great. It's because we as Christians, if you're a Christian in here, and you're a follower of Jesus, you have a reverence for Christ. And so we submit to each other. Why are we doing all this stuff we're talking about in this series? Why is it that we have to pursue forgiveness and acceptance and servants and all of these things? Why are we supposed to do it? Because Christ has called us to a different thing. Because of Jesus. Paul says, submit to Jesus. Paul didn't say in that thing, it says, you need to submit to Jesus because of Jesus. That's what we're doing now. That's what we did in these songs. When we sang songs, we raised our hands, when we give of our time, talents, and treasures. That's what we do. We submit to Jesus out of reverence for Jesus when we do this, when we worship. That is this, okay? That's not what Paul said. Paul says submit to each other out of reverence for Jesus. That's not easy. That is a challenge. That is not going to be something that is going to be a lot of fun. He's not saying that I'm going to ask you to submit out of reverence because of that knucklehead that hurts you. I'm not going to ask you to submit out of reverence to your teacher or to your boss or that person that you don't like. That's not it. You are submitting out of reverence for me. So out of reverence for me, you're going to submit and respect the people around you. This isn't easy. He's saying submit to one another out of reverence for Jesus. Now, some of you are saying, now this doesn't feel right. Like you haven't met my boss. You haven't met my teacher, my coworker, my friend, my classmate. I get it. I get it. It doesn't feel right because it isn't a part of us. That's not how we're wired. We're saying that all of this stuff is incredibly difficult because it rubs against everything we feel that is right. It makes it hard, and that's why we need God's power. But what would it look like if we woke up in the morning and say, good morning, God, I got to put these eye rules into play this week, and I know I had a conversation with a coworker this week, and I kind of wanted to strangle him. I need your power to put these in place. But if you're anything like me, you wake up, you don't say good morning, God. You pretty much say, oh, good God, it's morning, and you grab the alarm clock and throw it at the animal because you just don't want to get moving, right? And you try to make it through your day by your own power, right? And then your coworker comes, or your classmate comes, or your boss comes, or your teacher comes, and it drives you mad because we're trying to do it all on our own power. But here's the deal. None of these rules are earth-shattering, are they? I mean, forgiveness and acceptance and serving and helping people make right decisions, they're not earth-shattering. I think each of us know people who are not followers of Jesus who do these things really, really well. We know somebody who understands the concept of forgiveness, that when I forgive somebody, that relationship is going to be healthier. I'm not only healthier, but I'm going to live in freedom. And I don't even have to be a follower of Jesus for that. There, we know somebody who just openly accepts people for who they are. It's just natural. They're not a follower of Jesus. but it's a part of their DNA. We've all experienced and know somebody who serves other people just freely, graciously. They're not a follower of Jesus. What we're saying is we are doing it different because of Jesus, out of a reverence for Jesus. There is something different. And that's why I think we save the hardest one for last in terms of submission. In terms of submitting to each other out of reverence for Jesus, it is the hardest one because we all know really good people in this world. You don't have to be a Christian to be a good person. But as Christians, as followers of Jesus, we say we are doing it for a different reason. We are doing it out of because of Jesus and what he did for us. And it is the most difficult to submit. That's what separates us from just a good person, from having a good moral guide, from having a good value, is the reason why we do something. See, I'd be willing to serve, I'd be willing to forgive, I'd be willing to accept somebody because of Jesus, because of what he has done for me. As a follower of Jesus, that's what we are talking about. It's out of reverence for Jesus. We're going to put that first. It is going to lead us and it is going to guide us. So here's what I want to do. I want to look at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, this is going to put some meat on the bones of what we're talking about. What are the characteristics? What are the ideas of submission? So we're going to look over at Philippians chapter 2. We're going to start at verse 3. The words are on the screen if you're wondering. Don't be selfish. There's an encouragement for you. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of the highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Verse 3 and verse 4 simply says that we're to consider the people around us better than ourselves. You're like, you don't understand the people around me. Okay, I'm not saying they are. Jesus says we need to consider them better than they are. It's that whole idea, again, say you meet your famous music star, your movie star, the whatever famous person you can think of. And you think of them and you meet them. You shake their hand, you get a picture with them, and you're like, whoa, this is so cool. Here's the bad news. That is what Jesus is asking us to have, that same reaction to the people around us. To think that they're that important. So think of that coworker, think of that teacher, that classmate, that friend, that boss. He's saying you talk to them and you look at them and you have that same, whoa. That's not going to be easy. But that's the idea when it says in verse 3 and 4 to think of others better than yourself. Think of them better as yourself. Scripture is saying in verse 5 and 6, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Now think of this. Here's God, Jesus, walking in or on earth, in the flesh, having these conversations, and he says, all of that power, all of that control, all of that stuff I have, it is not that important. I'm going to set it aside for you. He gave up everything. Now, this is me. If I had all of that authority, all of that power, all of that control, I wouldn't give anything up. I'd be like, yeah, look at that rock. Boom, it's bread. Yeah? I mean, I'd walk around doing that all the time. Look, I have a beautiful 10-year-old girl who's growing up. And she's growing up too fast. But like, if I had that power and we're walking somewhere and I see the boys' heads turn, and I said, did I just see some lust in your eyes? I said, baby, watch what daddy's going to do. You're grounded in hell. No, not really. Right? But I'm saying, how about that? All right, this is probably better. I'm just going to turn him into a slug, right? You know, I would not give up that power because I'm selfish, because that's what I want. Like, but Jesus, the God-man, fully God, but fully human, tempted in every way, I can imagine was tempted to use his power, completely, absolutely gave it up. He didn't pull rank on any of us. He didn't do that. He says, because of who I am, you need to do this. So let me ask you, are there things and relationships and times and places where you're pulling rank? Where there's somebody in your life, a relationship that you have, where you said, they're just not as important as I am, and I'm going to pull rank. Because Jesus says you need to look at them as better than yourselves. Look what verse 8 says. How far does this submission go? When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. That's a little extreme, don't you think? Like, I don't know about that. That sounds awful painful. I think it was. Paul said he didn't just die. He didn't just stop existing. It says he died a criminal's death, one where he suffered greatly on a cross. And if you ever do this scientific study about how somebody would die in that setting, it's torturous. It's horrific. He didn't just die. He gave up all the power. He gave up everything. He says, I'm going to set aside my control. I'm going to set aside my desire and my power, and I'm going to submit all of that stuff for you. He could have taken the easy way, though. He could have easily said, this doesn't sound fun. I don't like this idea. I'm not going to do it. In fact, in the garden, he prayed at one point. He says, Father, take this cup from me. He knew what was coming. He didn't want to do it, and he easily could have done it. That would have been the easy way to do it. And think about that. If he chose not to go through this, you and I would not have an opportunity to have a relationship with the living God. But because he set aside all of his power, he set aside every control that he had, we can have a relationship with the God of the universe. That's submission. It's a mutual, absolute, beautiful submission. Now, I got to make a full confession here. Like, I'm here every day of the week. And there are times that I walk in and many of our rooms, and as I walk in here, we have these beautiful crosses. And I look at these crosses and I forget. Can I just be honest with you? I forget. I forget what that thing represents because culturally and personally, we wear it. It's a jewelry piece now. We get it tattooed on our body. It's a symbol. It's a beautiful piece of artwork. And we've lost, I think, some of the power of what that cross did for us. Where Jesus died on the cross, shedding his blood, giving up all power and control so you and I can be made right and have that relationship with God again. Can you imagine what it'd be if he never submitted? If Jesus didn't want to do it, if he chose not to, if he chose to step away from the whole thing and not do any of it, it'd be a totally different conversation we're having. See, but Jesus' submission, his putting you and I first over his rights, over what he wants, changes the game. It changed everything for us. And I can have a life because Jesus submitted himself. That's what submission on the cross did for us. That's what his perfect submission did. And some of us have entered into that relationship. Some of us have taken that submission, that gift that he has given us, have entered into that relationship with him, and some of us haven't yet. And that's okay. But those of us that have, when we see those crosses, it should remind us what Jesus did for us. It should remind us that Jesus perfectly submitted to us because of his heavenly Father. And how much more should we submit to one another because of him? We should reflect, we should think, we should act, we should pause in a moment like this and remind ourselves what it did for us, what he did for us. Because you're going to walk out of here, and I can guarantee that within minutes or hours, things are going to be back to normal in your life. And you're going to say, I love these rules. These rules are great. They're going to, I can see them working. They're not going to be easy, but I can see how they can work. And then we get out into life again, out of this easy, safe spot. How are we going to do it? How are we going to live beyond this easy, safe place? It is with the power of God. And here, I believe, is the most difficult part of this whole thing, is that relationships take precedence over my rights. That's not easy. Relationships take precedence over our lie, over our rights. See, out of reverence for Jesus, I give up my rights. Now, I want to be very clear on something. Submission is never abusive. Submission is never controlling. Submission is never dangerous. If somebody is acting in such a way that is abusive, that is hurtful, that is dangerous, that is not a mutual submission in Christ. Okay, you hear me on that? That is not it. But the reality is, in relationships take precedence over our lives. Healthy biblical submission takes place in both people in the relationships. But as Jesus, we also have an understanding that we submit because of him. So if two Christians are together, we submit, both of us, to him. Let me give you a silly example. Some of you know me, know that I love to golf. My wife, on the other hand, not so much. Okay, so many years ago when I was playing in the desert overseas, my wife thought, hey, I'll use this opportunity to take some golf lessons. My husband bought me clubs, shoes, balls, gloves, everything I need. I'll use this as an opportunity because then we can spend time together when he gets home. So she goes and takes these lessons, does this thing, it's such a very kind thing. And you know what happened? Something shifted in her. And she realized, I like it even less than I did. And we sold the clubs, sold the shoes. It isn't. But every now and then, I'll go to her and say, hey, babe, why don't you come with me? I want some company. You want to go walk with me? Or you can drive the cart, right? And every now and then she will, and she'll come and hang out with me and spend time with me, and she hopefully doesn't make fun of me shanking the ball and taking six putts, and she does that because she knows that it's important to me, and she honors me with that, and she gives up her rights to ignore the game she really doesn't care about because it's important in our relationship to spend time together, and she knows it's important to me. And I do the same thing with her. Mutual submission gives up our rights together. And it's not just one-sided. And so when I think about submission, it's really easy to do with someone we love. I can do that with my wife really, really easy. A lot easier than I can with Floyd. Look, he's married to Megan, not me. It's easy to submit to someone that we love. It is not easy to do that with that boss that you can't stand, with that teacher, with that classmate, with that coworker. That is not easy to do. I'm not going to sugarcoat this, okay? It is not easy to do. It is not easy to submit to someone who you think is an utter idiot. It's not easy to do with someone who thinks you're an idiot. It's not easy to do with someone who doesn't know how to handle a four-way stop. God bless them, right? Submission is easy to do with someone that we love. But Christ calls us to submit one another, not because of them, but because of what Jesus did for us. That's the game changer. That is the difference. In a moment, we're going to celebrate Holy Communion together. And you can tell, so if you're a guest with us, we normally do this earlier in the service, but I want to do it at the end. And we're gonna do this because what I want to do as we do this, I want you to think very clearly and remind yourself, looking at these crosses, experiencing communion, singing the song that we're going to sing, if you wish, what Christ did for you. If you're not a follower of Jesus, I still invite you to the table of Jesus Christ. I want you to allow what he did for you to take some root in your life. I want you to allow the elements to take root in you. Because out of reverence for Christ and what he did for me on the cross, I want that to be prevalent in your life. Look what it says in verse 9 through 11. Therefore, God elevated him to the highest place of honor and gave him the name above all names, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. There will be a day where everybody will submit to Jesus. One day, everybody will give Jesus what he is due. Everybody will recognize who Jesus is. And we're going to submit to one another out of reverence for him. See, we need to make relationships a priority. Not our rights, not of what we deserve, not of what we want to get out of it. And every time you put that other person first, it's a statement of gratitude for the fact of that I put you first, but more importantly, of what Jesus has done for you.